The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And I'm back this morning. 222-8255 is the number to call, and give us a call if you get... And there's probably not too many people fishing out there, although the wind, when the wind's calm like that and it's not too cold, you know, rainy time is not a bad time to be out there. So I always say best time to go fishing is when you can. Also, whenever that, you know, the barometer starts rising, when this starts clearing up after this low front passes through, that's generally a good time for those fish to start biting good too. So, speaking of the weather, while we're not in hurricane season, you ought to call Durant's Tree Service and you get any of the trees you need trimmed around your house or whatever. So whenever we do have hurricane treason season, you don't have to worry about it. So, but you hear them advertised on our show. They're one of our sponsors that help keep us on the air. And so call Durant's Tree Service, over 20 years experience, family owned and operated. So give them a call at 449-2848. That's 449-2848, and get your trees taken care of now while we don't have these high winds and everything. So you never know. Could have a rainstorm come through here and have a chance of tornadoes too. So I always like to get everything trimmed around the power lines, things like that too. So anyway, also I saw where the FWC in their meeting in St. Augustine over the past I think it was the 12th and 13th, had started, or they had approved some new shark fishing regulations. And from what I understand, the meetings that Chris and Ted and I went to that time, it was for the shorebound or shore-based shark fishing. Was kind of, wondering if the new rules and regulations they were wanting to come up with was going to affect the vessels. And under these new rules and regulations, I see it may. But let's get Bill on here first. Morning, Bill.
Hey, Captain Vic, what's going on?
Hey, sir.
It sounds like you're embracing new regulations, huh?
Well, I'm not embracing them. I'm all for people learning how to release fish, you know, that, if that's the case, but, these new regulations the FWC is coming out with about, you know, shark fishing is kind of, you know, a little on the disturbing side for me, you know, but, other than that, I mean, how are you supposed to know when a shark's going to get on your line? You know, now if you're targeting shark, that's one thing, but,
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole environmental movement's really invaded. I did that fishing tournament in New Smyrna Beach. We had like 600 people, and we made, in my opinion, terrible mistake donating a bunch of money to the organization that has the tagged redfish out.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember. And they sent a woman, a representative, and she saw some, you know, poor fishing dude, and he had this raggedy T-shirt on the back said, "I practice catch and fillet." And the way she was speaking about it was almost like she wanted to go and slit his throat because he ate fish.
Well, and also,
I mean, it was terrible.
It's just a T-shirt. It's just a joke. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not even a joke. You know what? Because I fillet fish all the time. In fact,
if
I couldn't get fish to eat, I wouldn't go fishing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's one of the things. I mean, when you're looking at fish that you buy in stores now, I mean, they're raised on pig and duck feces, and you know, they're in they're in some of the most filthiest conditions. Whereas we can go out and catch a fish, you know, in waters that they have over the last 50 years have cleaned up immensely, you know, and there's just no comparison. You know, through all my reading and stuff, I read all the time. And through all my reading and stuff, you know, the fish you buy in a store is anywhere from 90 to 110, 115 days old, by the time that it's processed and fast frozen and then, you know, shipped and then stored and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And when you're looking
there's a chemical that makes it, there's a chemical that they put in them that makes them hold water, you know, makes them heavier.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what it was, but I'm still going to keep on fishing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I am too. As long as I'm able to, I'm going to also.
Yeah. The, my trolling motor, I texted you that my trolling motor went down.
Yeah, what happened?
And, well, it quit. It just turned off, and I couldn't get to go back on. I've been having a few issues with it. It turns out that my batteries, which have been 99.2% of the time, I bring it right home and plug them right in.
Yeah.
And I have a battery maintenance system, you know, plus I have the stealth charger. And one of my batteries was only putting out 10 amps, and the other one was putting out less than 12. And there's a board inside that motor of mine that says, not enough power, shut down.
Hmm.
So I got to replace those batteries, or maybe they're under warranty. I don't know.
Yet. Yeah, how long have you had them?
2 years, 2.5 years.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't either. Yeah.
Annoying.
But, sometimes that I can understand how that happened, because I was wondering about that when you texted me and told me that you were done because your batteries gave out, you know, your trolling motor gave out on you. And I was like, I hope you didn't have a problem with it. But it sounds like just your battery, you know.
Yeah.
But that's...
Well, I got lucky. I was fishing in kind of a canal or, you know, the pass through between Clapboard and Sisters Creek.
Yeah.
So, like, all I'd do is put my motor down and take off. I wasn't way the heck up in a creek where I have to, you know, get naked and pull my boat out. Old school.
In this cold of water, you don't want to have to do that anyway.
Oh, my God. I've been in my underwear everywhere around here. When I first started, oh, God, did you see some poor fat guy in his tidy whities at the back of his boat just pushing his heart?
Well, you know, you learn that way, too. Learn where not to go at that tide or whatever, you know. I would say I've been out of the boat several times over the years, and you know, in these creeks and stuff, but you got to really watch that too, because some of that mud is really soft.
Oh, no kidding. Well, there's that big giant sandbar when you go across Nassau, you know, come out of the little cut there, and off to the left there's this monstrous sandbar. Well, I didn't know which way it went, so first I pushed my boat up on the sandbar farther, and you know, then I turned around and I'm in my underwear. You guys are shrimpers are laughing and pointing, and you know, it's not like I can make them cry, if you know what I mean. So,
but if you ever want to go across there, you go around that point right there when you come out of Salt Pit Creek.
Yeah,
and then you kind of just go around that little point right there between the two bridges, the two old bridges. And then just stay next to that new bridge as you go. You can go all the way across there really good.
I make it now. I haven't done that only once. You know, it's, I only laid on the bottom of my boat freezing to death up in Nickel Creek once. But, you know, I didn't catch any fish in the creek after I got off those trout that were hitting on the topwater lures, which has been super fun. I'm kind of figuring that out.
That is a blast. I love topwater.
Yeah, they're coming out of the water, but they're all, you know, 14 and 7/8.
Yeah. So, I've often thought whenever they wanted the looking at the trout lures, trout regulations, we went to that meeting, and it was only about 10 or 12 people there. But going to that trout meeting, one of my suggestions was to, you know, they were talking about how can we get people to, because they're having to release a lot of small trout and all. And I said, just drop the limit to 14 inches. And so if you drop the limit to 14 inches, usually people would keep their limit and then go target something else, you know? So that would be a way.
Well, the other theory is then all the trout will be 13 and 7/8. I don't know what
It could be. It could be. It seems like 14, 14 and a half, there's a lot of trout around that size, you know?
Sure. Oh, I agree. Yeah. I mean, you look at them, you think, I better measure this one because if it's legal, I'll keep it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you measure it, it's just under.
And I fished in Georgia for a long time, and theirs was 13 when I was doing it, but I guess they raised it to 14.
Well, I appreciate it, Bill. Stay in all your clothes this time of the year, buddy.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories. Performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600. Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits, and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning on the Still Just Fishing Show, and it's kind of funny. Bill talking about he's been all over the place in his underwear, trying to push his boat around and stuff. That can be pretty bad at times, especially this time of the year. But I know you want to try to keep your clothes as dry as possible to have something to put back on. But people will probably think that's kind of funny. But, anyway, let's get David on this morning. Morning, David.
Good morning.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, except for a little bit of rain.
Yeah, we got quite a bit at the house there, but luckily it's been one of those soaking kinds this time, I think.
Yes, sir. Well, I was at the meeting Wednesday with FWC about the sharks.
Yes, sir.
And they had a bunch of proposals, and from what I understand, they approved them. So,
yeah, they approved them.
They want anybody shark fishing to go online and take a test so they can get a permit to shark fish.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's and I'm guessing that the test or whatever to get the because they're saying it's creating a mandatory no cost annual shore based shark fishing permit.
Yes, sir.
So I'm guessing that they're wanting you to learn how to catch them or lease them or something. I don't know.
They're trying to find out how many people are actually doing it.
Yeah. And I see the draft rules that they brought up. And of course, we're looking at the commission, looking at them in February for them to approve them. The commissioners and all that brought these up. This is their rules that they want to pass. And it all depends on what's going to happen in February as if it gets, you know, we won't know when the, date that it becomes effective until then. But one of them is creating the mandatory no-cost annual shore-based shark fishing permit, and I guess annual so they can keep track of it like you're talking about.
Yes.
Prohibiting chumming when fishing for any species from the beach. Prohibiting delaying the release of prohibited shark species when fishing from the shore. In other words, when they're saying delaying, they want you to release the thing right away. Requiring that prohibited shark species remain in the water when fishing from shore and from a vessel. Now, that really could, you know, be a problem when you're trying to unhook a shark and he's still in the water. Let me tell you, that's not the, you know, most people just sort of have to wind up cutting the line or whatever, you know what I mean? But because when you get that fish in the water, you're in his element. I don't care how shallow it is. He can move better in that water than he can up on the sand. And
when they define who's shark fishing,
yeah,
if you have a real big enough 80-pound class or a cup or fighting harness, then you're a shark fisherman.
Yeah.
No matter what you're, I mean, if you say
you could be tarpon fishing. Yeah, you could be fishing for tarpon. I mean, tarpon is up and down the beach, too. People catch tarpon off the beach.
And if you're shark fishing, you have to have a pair of bolt cutters so you can cut the hook.
Mm. Yeah.
Or a de-hooker to remove the hook. Only non-stainless, non-offset circle hooks. And this is for beach and boat.
Yeah.
And they're thinking about stopping people fishing from bridges and piers where it'd be too difficult to pull them up or take them to the beach.
Yeah. And then, like you say, requiring the possession or the use of a device capable of quickly cutting the leader or hook when fishing from shore or a vessel.
Yes, sir.
And the thing about it is, you know, I mean, people are going to have scissors to cut the leader is what they're going to do. I mean, it's, you know, looking at a circle hook, trying to get a circle hook out is not as easy as getting a regular J hook out for one of the things. And the other thing is getting your hand that close, I mean, to a shark. And you're going to keep him in the water while you're trying to unhook him. That's going to be pretty hard to do. So, you know, most of the people are just going to leave that hook in him and just, you know, cut the line off.
Well, the regulations they've got them worded now is for protected species. So what I understand is if you catch one that's not protected, you can drag it up on the beach and harvest it or do whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Well, stuff like bonnet heads, they're not protected, and there's no size limit on the bonnet heads, and they're actually pretty good to eat. You know, people don't realize that, but they're actually pretty good to eat. And
I walked into the meeting Tuesday with a huge cardboard box with the jaw of an 8-foot, 8-inch bull shark that I caught this past July 28th, and they asked me if I wanted to speak to register, and I said no, and they asked me what I had, so I opened up the box, and let me get somebody. Then that person had to go get another officer, and they came and talked to me and looked at it, and the 20-aught circle hook was completely through the jaw.
Oh, wow.
And after talking to me, they recommended that I put it behind the desk and not take it into the meeting.
Because the circle hook didn't do it like it was supposed to, you mean?
There's only so much gap in a circle hook, and a bull shark has a real thick jaw.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, I mean, I have taken people shark fishing, of course, you know, because I take people to do whatever they want to do inshore, you know, and at the jetties and stuff. And, I mean, you know, when we catch and release them, you know, we don't take them out of the water, especially bull sharks. I don't care how little a bull shark is. I don't take them out of the water. Them things will hurt you.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, when you're in a boat, now, there again, when you're on the beach, you can drag them up on the beach. They can't, they, I mean, they still hurt you, but they can't move in that sand near as easy as they can in that water. And so, you know, looking at the, you know, regulations here talking about keeping them in the water when you're trying to unhook them, I mean, that, I can see that's going to be a big problem.
They don't want people measuring sharks. They don't want people taking pictures, which pretty much eliminates any tagging of sharks for research or any shore-based tournaments.
Yeah. And, you know, what really kind of gets me, I was watching a show last night. They were talking about how there's so many more shark bites happening now, you know, to humans, and the sharks really don't want to bite the humans, but they're getting closer to shore. You know, at different times of the year, but that's always happened. I mean, you know, I have fished, you know, from the shore, from a boat my whole life. And, you know, sometimes those sharks come up in real shallow water. I mean, I had one right close to me, in Nassau River one time when I was wade fishing. And I mean, he come right up to me and I was, you know, out there in like 2.5 feet of water and it was just above my knee. And, I mean, the thing got so close that, you know, I took my pole and just started aiming it at the shark. I was going to wear him out with an ugly stick before he kind of got too close to me. But I eased up and got out of that water. And, you know, but they'll come right up there at you. And the thing about it is of course, the bull sharks don't want humans. They want fish. You know, they want something they can handle. But they've been protected so much that there's getting to be more and more and more sharks. And this one guy that was on the show last night was talking about how the fishermen have you know, just wore out the reefs, the offshore reefs. And so the sharks have nothing to eat on the offshore reefs. So that's why they're coming to the beach now. And I mean, I don't know what type of researcher he was, but I'm no scientist. I'm just an old river rat. But,
right.
But that just doesn't happen. I mean, there's so many red snapper out there off the state of Florida and Georgia and all this because you can't keep them. I mean, there's plenty of fish out there for shark to eat. But the bull sharks have always come in. It's like, you know, it's a big thing now. The last, I don't know, 15 years or so, people talk about the great whites are down here now. They have
right.
always came here. They have always followed the right whales down here to eat their calves. I mean, this is just, you know, thousands and thousands of years. It's just that they've started, you know, doing more and more research and have found them. But, I mean, when I fished offshore, I mean, we've seen great whites out there. We've seen whales out there. It's always happened. It's
yes,
it seems like it's such a new thing to people now for some reason.
I agree.
But I agree, too, with you about talking about they want to know how many people's doing this so they can keep track of all this stuff. It's kind of scary at times. It really is. You know?
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's like when the Coast Guard was talking about they need to have every boat have an AIS system on it so they can tell where you're at for safety reasons. I don't know about this safety stuff. You know, I think they want to tell where you're at so they know what you're doing. You know, where it's only fishing, y'all. Let us catch some fish and go home. It's only fishing.
Well, in the tagging that I've done, I was in the Florida Shark Club for over 20 years, and we tagged sharks, and when it was recaptured, they sent us a paper saying, you know, you caught it here, and it was recaptured here.
Yeah.
There was one sandbar shark that was at liberty for over 27 years.
Wow.
Another one that we tagged off of Florida that was captured in England.
Man, hate to rush, but fix the on break. Thank you for your call so much.
Talk AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump says he's putting a nation's security ahead of life as usual in Washington, and that he will fight Democrats on border wall funding, even if it leads to a partial government shutdown. The president not backing away when he was asked by reporters yesterday. A federal judge in Texas has ruled that President Obama's Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional. The law remains in place while the ruling is under appeal. U.S. District Judge Rita O'Connor ruled Friday that last year's tax overhaul knocked the constitutional foundation from underneath the Health Care Act dubbed Obamacare. Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison says his government has decided to formally recognize West Jerusalem as Israel's capital. He says Australia will recognize East Jerusalem as Palestine's capital, but only after a settlement has been reached on a two-state solution. On Wall Street, a down day Friday with the Dow off 495 points. This is SRN News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing, he had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife Jenny was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you.
877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Tico Sports presents the Spanish broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, don't miss any of the games of the Jaguars 2018 season on WBOB 101.1 FM and 600 AM. Listen to the broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Espanol.
This Sunday, December 16th, the Jacksonville Jaguars will face the Washington Redskins with the broadcast starting at 12:45 p.m.
Don't miss all the action brought to you by Tico Sports with the voices of Javier Carrero and Victor Cora.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Thursday, December 20th from 5 to 9 p.m. Enjoy the North Beach Art Walk at the Beaches Town Center in Neptune Beach. Thursday, December 20th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the musical at the Florida Theater. And Friday, December 21st at 8 p.m. It's a Christmas Carol at the Times Union Center for the Performing Arts in downtown Jacksonville.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Are you guys looking for a morning show that is fast-paced, entertaining, and gives you all the news without all the nonsense involved? Listen to Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Monday through Friday, right here on FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., Roger.
And we value your input as well, so feel free to call in.
That's right, mornings from 6 to 9 a.m., Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, on FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Roads are pretty quiet. Everything's pretty much almost back to normal. As for the weather, rain continues through this morning, but it'll be clearing up this afternoon. 30% chance of that this morning, high 71. Partly cloudy tonight and tomorrow night, looking for a low near about 50. Mostly sunny tomorrow, high 65. Down to 62 at AM 600 WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. We're just talking about, Dave, that was a good call, Dave, appreciate that, about the draft rules that that will be brought back before the commission for final approval in February. And I don't really know where that meeting is going to be yet. I'll look it up and see. But anyway, this meeting about the shore-based shark fishing is now Looks like they're kind of including some of the vessel stuff in it. And this being state rules, of course, you would have to understand that that would not have anything to do with you when you're 3 miles offshore or further, because that'd be in federal waters. But I'm looking at this, and they've got a couple of the rules here where it says, you know, when fishing from shore and from a vessel, you know, that's kind of like, you know, when they first had these meetings, and Chris and Ted and I went to them, they were talking about, you know, this only had to deal with shore-based fishermen, and they did not want people chumming in the water and stuff like that. Now, you know, most of the people who are fishing are not going to go right up to where people are swimming at and, you know, and start fishing right there in that area anyway, because, I mean, you're not going to catch fish out there where people are swimming at. But, you know, you don't have to chum to get the sharks up to the beach. They're already there. It's just, I think we have a lot of people who are not fishermen, and they just don't realize that, you know, from what we see. Yeah, we see fish up. You know, a lot of times you go up there and try to cast net pogies, and you see sharks are all in the pogey pods and stuff when you're right there at the breakers trying to cast net pogies, you know, to use for bait. So, anyway, I'm interested to see if this is going to be, you know, if there's anything people can do that will, you know, kind of discourage them trying to, you know, create a all new rules and everything for the shark fishing community, because I know there's still people who really enjoy that. Sorry, trying to get off that page. Make sure somebody's not on the phone. But anyway, if you'd like to give me a call, if you got an opinion of it before we go, of course, it's 222-8255 is the number to call. And, you know, looking at the different species that come up and down the beach, like the whiting, the pompano, I mean, all of those are targeted by sharks. You know, it's not only pogies, and it's not only, you know, mullet and stuff like that that's targeted by sharks. I mean, they'll eat whiting, they'll eat pompano, they'll eat, you know, yellowmouth trout. I mean, or sand trout, usually out there is sand trout. You know, the black drum, the reds, the small reds that are in the surf. I mean, you know, so it's not just pogies. So, you know, but I don't know. People, I guess, think that sharks are only going to come up there if you chum them up there. I think that's why they have why they're doing this new rule about the chumming. And, you know, but that movie, I mean, that documentary I was watching last night was kind of interesting, talking about how they don't understand why there's, you know, more shark bites to humans now than there has been, you know, in the last 30, 40 years. But when they started really, you know, protecting these sharks and not letting people harvest them, and there's getting to be more and more and more of them, you know, the fishermen are not the only ones that are taking food out of the food chain. You know, these sharks are taking quite a bit of the food out of the food chain also. So anytime you have that, I mean, they're going to be looking for whatever they can to eat. They're opportunistic feeders, just like every other fish is, you know. You have to think like a fish, you know. But when I talk about thinking like a fish also, I mean, to me, it's like there's three levels in the water. You know, you got low, medium, and on the surface, you know, so high. And, you know, fish will either see the lure or smell the bait or, you know, or hear it. And that's why artificial lures have been around since, like, ancient times, you know. Even the Roman troops had written about catching trout in the mountains and stuff with flies that they learned to tie from what's going on, you know, what they had, you know, in the waters over there. There's ancient photographs of the pharaohs sitting next to a fish tank and dipping a line in the water. And, you know, we don't know what it is, of course, because you can't tell. It's carved in a wall. So you can't tell if it's, you know, he's fishing with a man-made lure or, you know, a real bait or whatever. But when you're using lures, what you want the lure to do is mimic a wounded fish or a bait of some kind. And, you know, that's what makes those fish, you know, when I say they're opportunistic feeders, that's what makes them, you know, go toward that lure. If they feel something that's not right, or they see something that's not right, you know, they'll go after the easiest meal they can get. You know, I mean, if it's right there, then why not eat it, you know? And that's part of the being, you know, taking an opportunistic moment, you know. They don't have ears like we do. And the fish we catch have, you know, like bone balls that are essentially, they float in chambers inside their heads. And they're positioned in roughly the same place as our ears are. And they're on the sides of their heads, but they're much more sensitive than ours. Everything in the fish's environment can rattle those floating vibration detectors. So if you look at like lures that make noise and attract them, more than half of the swimming lures you find in a tackle shop have ball bearings inside them, or you know, or the or like Rob was talking about, the chatter baits. They create a rattle when you snap the bait. A topwater lure is obviously noisy as it splashes the surface. But they also have a lot of rattles in them. You know, most of your top waters have little, you know, either one or two BBs in it, and they rattle. And even a jig bouncing on the bottom makes noise or vibrations that the fish can hear or feel. You have some of the sharks, you know, especially like a bull shark, they actually have on their sides little holes. They're microscopic holes that we can't see, but they feel the barometer pressure. Every fish has a lateral line, and they can feel that barometer pressure through those microscopic holes. Some fish have holes in their scales, and some fish that don't have scales, like sharks, they have those microscopic holes where they can feel that barometer change. That's what we talk about, the barometer changing, and, you know, whether it's going up or down, and how those fish can feel that. It's not that the pressure, you know, squeezes on the fish, is they can feel that pressure through these lateral lines, through these sensitive parts, you know. Some of the fish see better than others. And, you know, you'll see some of them's got real big eyes and stuff. They can see real good in deep water or whatever, you know. Some can smell stuff from, you know, a mile away. A shark is said to have blood molecules a mile from their source. I mean, you know, they have these little old things in their, the little holes in their snout where they can sense that blood and smell that blood. A catfish, that lives in muddy water or whatever can smell more than a fish like a wahoo or a kingfish, because a wahoo or a kingfish or a dolphin or something like that, you know, is, you know, traveling through the waters all the time. So they're moving pretty fast. They more or less target fish by sight rather than smell. And a redfish, being a bottom feeder, will either smell, you know, as far away as a catfish can, or, you know, or see the bait, one or the other, you know. So the fish that are meant to feed, you know, like on the bottom, like underneath themselves, they're called inferior fish because their lower jaws are shorter than their upper jaws. And they can usually smell better than the open water or near, you know, in top water feeders and stuff like snook, bass, or tarpon, you know. So, you know, you can make your bait stink several different ways if you're using a, you know, an artificial lure or whatever. I mean, you can dip it in menhaden oil. That's how we did it for years, you know. And it's always been kind of a common practice among some, you know, anglers and stuff, probably because they keep it in their boats for making bait chums, stuff like that. There's a wide range of stinky baits today, though, out there from companies like Gulp or whatever that, you know, a lot of anglers swear by them. I mean, I use Gulp a lot, too, myself. I used to use, I can't think of the name of that. The artificial bait that first came out stinking, you know. But anyway, the Gulp has made that bait almost obsolete. Fish bites, that's what I was going to say. Used to use fish bites before Gulp came out. But now the Gulp's out, they've almost made fish bites like almost obsolete, you know. So, you know, and if you believe in a bait, whether it stinks or it don't stink, you know, whether it's factory made or, you know, I mean, if you think it works because you use it more often and that's, you know, you concentrate using that bait, that's normally what you're going to catch more fish on, because the more you use it, the more fish you're going to catch on it. That's why people get confident in certain lures, you know. That's why one of the things I like the bombers, we've caught so many fish on those bomber long days, and I just have confidence in them. And everybody's got confidence in live shrimp. It works. So why not keep using it? 222-8255. Got one more second. Give me...
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Benelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Hey boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterward? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423 and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and I'm just looking at the radar here. So it looks like, the rain's here. Looks like it's going to be kind of getting over with pretty soon. So, even with the light winds, you might still be able to get out there. The barometer should start rising, and I'd say in probably about 2 to 3 hours at the most. It being almost 8 o'clock, that's still going to give you plenty of time to fish today. St. Augustine still looking like that rain's going to come up through St. Augustine quite a while. Daytona Beach. Looks like if you're down there listening to me, it's our show goes all the way down past Daytona. So looks like you're fixing to get start getting hammered here in about an hour, an hour and a half at the most. You know, that rain is coming from down around Tampa, and it's coming right up just south of Jacksonville. Well, it's at the beach still here in Jacksonville, but it's going right through St. Augustine and, like I say, almost down to Daytona. And the way it's traveling northeast, and also, you know, the whole system is moving to the east, Daytona Beach is going to start really getting it pretty soon. So, anyway, it looks like Jacksonville is going to be able to get out there, you know, and start fishing, the people in Jacksonville. So, you know, when you're off on the weekend and Saturday's the only day you got to go, I'd be getting ready to go on out there. And, you know, by the time you get the boat hooked up, get out there and get your bait and everything, hopefully it should be back gone. Procure was one that one of the baits, stinky stuff that you can spray on the baits too, which I didn't think about that. But Ted had sent me a text and reminded me of that one. That's one of the baits that, one of the scent things you can add to your baits to kind of help, you know, attract fish to it. And talking about the different lures and all about why fish prefer certain lures, because you have some fish have, you know, when you have like superior fish, the fish look up and eat stuff above them, you know, for the most part. I mean, like your largemouth bass, so you got trout, stuff like that, look at it. excuse me. You know, inferior, what they call inferior fish, is the fish that eat stuff on the bottom. And then the terminal fish, that's the fish that eat other fish right in front of them, or other baits like shrimp and stuff like that that's right in front of them. So I call the speckled trout kind of a terminal to a superior fish, because they will eat top waters really easy. They're built, their mouths are built on the front of them just like a largemouth bass. They're able to eat stuff right in front of them really easy. You know, but, you know, the redfish, that's why they're a little bit harder to try to, you know, feed on the surface, because their mouth's actually on the bottom. So, that's why you have your black drum, stuff like that, or bottom feeders, you know. But, when you have superior fish, sort of like tarpon and trout and things like that, some of the superior fish actually have upturned mouths. You know, they're shaped a lot like a scoop, like a tarpon is. And that makes it easier for them to eat fish swimming above them, you know, or whenever they, you know, drive them up to the surface, you know, they can eat it right at the surface. The superior structure, like of a snook's mouth, that makes them, you know, prey to a well-worked popping cork, too. They're built to look up. The tarpon, of course, built to look up. If you look closely at a, you know, what they call superior fish, you can say they have, you know, lower lips that extend like just beyond their upper jaw, and totally different from a redfish or a whiting or a black drum, you know, croakers, things like that. You can really notice it in like a tarpon. I mean, you know, a tarpon is his lower jaw. I mean, it extends way past their upper jaw. So, you know, it doesn't mean they always feed on the surface, but it just means they're more likely to see and be able to strike something that's above them like that. When their eyes are, you know, more on the top of their head also, it helps them quite a bit. You know, the superior feeders we seek most are, you know, the tarpon, the snook, speckled trout, you know, cobia, you know, all of those will eat like top waters and stuff. So, you know, or fish or other fish on the top. Inferior feeders like the redfish, you know, black drum, things like that, or just like a catfish and any other fish that has its mouth below its body. So where the upper jaw extends, you know, a considerable distance above their lower jaw or further out than their lower jaw, that shows that they're, you know, a bottom feeder. So like a redfish is like the first thing you're going to think about when you, you know, when you see that or hear this, is to know that they're bottom feeders, because you could see they have that, you know, have that jaw stick out. A lot of fish, like catfish and even black drum, have small barbs near their mouths, you know. And, you know, the black drum, redfish, you know, stuff like that, croakers, they'll eat more, you know, on the bottom than any other way. Now, you can catch them, you know, you can catch redfish on top water, so they'll certainly roll over on the top water plug to be able to try to catch one. But, you know, it's not going to be anything like, you know, a superior feeder would do. But anyway, just to let y'all know, what I'd be targeting this week is, of course, sheep's head. As long as the sheep heads are biting, I like to target them. Speckled trout, redfish, maybe even a couple of black drum at the jetties or in the river. I understand there's still some down there at Trout River. There's some yellowmouth trout now being caught. And like I say, most of them are still pretty small, but they are getting bigger size, so that's good. The sand trout's getting bigger size. I understand there's some pretty nice whiting now at the jetties on dead shrimp in the sandier area, so I haven't been trying those myself, but that seems like certainly a good way to go out and get you some nice dinner. I love deep-fried whiting. Of course, you know, I have to watch what I eat anymore, so getting up in age like that. But, you know, the fish are certainly out there, and I haven't heard much of pompano happening. I know Captain Kurt was catching them outside the jetties there for a while, but, you know, some people were catching them on the beach, but I haven't heard this week about any pompano being around, so don't know if they're around or not. But hopefully the bait shops are getting their fiddlers in. This is the time of the year, you know, when it starts getting cold, they're going to get, you know, slower and slower about getting fiddlers in, unfortunately. So, you know, if you can dig up some sand fleas, they'll certainly work for the sheep's head. On jig heads along the rocks, just like the fiddlers will, as long as they stay alive. So best time to go is when you can. So, you know, try to get out there and get them. And I want to thank all of my sponsors, you know, for keeping me on the air here this year. It's been great. I know we got the, you know, Christmas coming up, and still got another show before Christmas coming up. So I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas that don't get to hear me next week. And, you know, a really good new year, a really good active new year on the water. Maybe everybody can get out and get fishing and, you know, have a great time out there. So, anyway, looking at this weather, as I said before, looks like you could get out there today. I don't see any wind blowing any pine needles on any trees and out the window here. Don't know. Let's see what Windfinder's showing for right now out there at Mayport Weather Station. It's showing it's blowing 6 knots out there, but that's out of the south, and then it's supposed to turn west. So, you know, they're showing the rains being over with by 10. I think it's going to be over with a lot earlier than that. I think it's going to be over within the next hour. So get out there and get them if you can. And hopefully that wind will calm on down and stay pretty calm tomorrow. And if you're out there tomorrow, I'll see y'all out there. Appreciate the calls today, and I'll be back next week. Have a good one.